Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be together again and to study your word together. Today we are looking at a very sensitive issue, an issue that needs to be clarified to us through your word. Bring it to us, dear Lord, through your Spirit, and let the Bible talk, and the Bible only. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, welcome back to our series, Give Me the Bible, Only the Bible. Today, as I said in my prayer, a very sensitive subject. I titled it, Millions Deceived by a Myth. Now, what is a myth? A myth, when a myth is believed for a long time, in the end, it is actually taken as the truth. A good example thereof is a spider. Approximately 350 BC, the famed Greek philosopher Aristotle classified the spider as having six legs. For the next 2,000 years, everybody believed that the spider has six legs. Nobody took the time to count the legs of the spider. In any case, who was going to argue with the famed Aristotle? Well, the biologist Lamarck caught a spider, counted its feet, and discovered that it did not have 6 feet. In actual fact, it had 8. He overturned a myth that it had been believed for 2,000 years. Why? Because he took the time to count. Or could it be possible that a religious myth has crept into the Christian church and that this myth could be much more important and critical than a 6 or an 8 foot spider? Millions of Christians are today worshipping on the first day of the week and are convinced that this is the biblical Sabbath. Now you're attending this and you're listening to this because you are seeking the truth. You're a child of God and you want to know what the truth is. Well, the Bible has the truth. And today we want to ask what the Bible says, not what some other pastor says or what some other book says or what some other church or denomination says. We want to ask the Bible on this subject of the Sabbath. Well, the problem is that when you ask the Bible the question, the Bible is so very clear. There can be no misunderstanding. Let's read. Exodus 28, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And then God comes in history and he speaks through his prophets many years later and he says in Ezekiel 20:12, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. And in verse 20, it says, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you that you may know that I am the Lord your God. If you want to know what the sign is between me and my people, here it is, the Sabbath. Now, from the beginning of the Bible till the end, it states that God instituted the Sabbath at creation, and that the Sabbath, namely the seventh day, has never been changed by God or even by Jesus. After God gave His law, He emphasized it through Moses in the Bible, and He said, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." And then we see Jesus self frank about this. Listen to what He told the people in the Gospel of Matthew. "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one stroke or one pronunciation mark shall in no way pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And then this verse, which struck me one day: "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so," and shall teach men so, "shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Who is speaking here? Jesus. Jesus. Who is Jesus? Listen. Colossians 1:16. "For by Him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible. All things have been created through Him and unto Him." Hebrews 1. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son." His Son. "Whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." Now, John 1 verse 3 emphasizes it. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So who's speaking here? The Creator God. The one that made the Sabbath and sanctified it. And therefore you get this verse in the Bible, Mark 2:28, "Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." And by example, He taught us about the Sabbath. Luke 4:16, "And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on Sabbath day and stood up for to read." He not only kept the Sabbath Himself, He also encouraged His disciples to keep it long after He ascended to heaven. He was talking to them about the destruction of Jerusalem that would take place 40 years onwards and in the future in 70 AD. And He encourages them by saying, when you see that happening, pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now the question, which day is the Sabbath day? Well, even if we only had the Bible as our reference, we would actual fact be able to get the answer. Let's read it again. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 54, it states, "And it was the day of the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on." The day of the crucifixion, they called it the day of the preparation, the day before the Sabbath. "And the woman who had come with Him out of Galilee followed after and beheld the tomb and how His body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. And then we read in Luke 24:1, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came unto the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. So, what happened here? Friday, which they called the day of preparation, Jesus is crucified. Saturday, Sabbath, Jesus rests in the grave. And Sunday, the first day of the week, Jesus rises from the grave. And then we observe the apostles, all keeping the Sabbath for years on end in the early church. When we read the book of Acts, you get more than 80 references of the apostles keeping the Sabbath of rest every week. Paul and his fellow apostles in Antioch, we read in Acts 13:14, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And verse 42, and as they went out, they asked that these words would be spoken to them the next Sabbath. That's the heathen. And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of God. And then Paul himself, in Acts 18:4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded Jews and Greeks. Nowhere in the whole Bible you will find any reference of the fact that the seventh day Sabbath was changed to the first day Sunday. And as a matter of fact, I'm prepared to give anyone, actually whatever you may ask, I'll try my best to really give it to you. If you could only give me but one, only one reference, verse in the Bible stating that we are obliged to keep the first day of the week holy. Only one text I'm asking. That Sunday is the day that God set aside for his people to worship him. Now, how can I be so frank and promise you something like this? Well, dear friends, because the work has already been done. Listen for a while what the churches of the world says about the Sabbath and the Sunday. It's quite remarkable. Here's the Presbyterians. The Christian Sabbath Sunday is not in the Scriptures and was not by the primitive church called the Sabbath. There's the reference. Here's the Baptists. There was and is a commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day, but that Sabbath was not Sunday. What about the Methodists? It's true, there is no positive command for keeping holy the first day of the week. And the Lutherans? Well, they say the observance of the Lord's Day, Sunday, is founded not on any command of God, but on the authority of the church. The Congregationalists, listen to what they are saying. It's clear that however rigidly or devoutly we may spend Sunday, we are not keeping the Sabbath. So it doesn't matter how devoutly you may spend the Sunday, you are not keeping the Sabbath. That's what they say. There is not a single sentence in the New Testament to suggest that we incur any penalty by violating the supposed sanctity of Sunday. And now, the Roman Catholics, they are really frank about this. The Sabbath was Saturday, not Sunday. The church altered the observance of the Sabbath to the observance of Sunday. And then they talk to this Protestant mind. They say, Protestants must be rather puzzled by the keeping of Sunday when God distinctly said, keep holy the Sabbath day. The word Sunday does not come anywhere in the Bible. So without knowing it, they, the Protestants, are obeying the authority of the Catholic Church. That's quite frank. Right into your face, isn't it? You may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day we never sanctify. So there you are. If the Bible is the only guide for the Christian, then the Seventh-day Adventist is right observing the Saturday. Still the Roman Catholic Church. But since Saturday, not Sunday, is specified in the Bible, isn't it curious? Isn't it curious that non-Catholics who profess to take their religion directly from the Bible and not the church observe Sunday instead of Saturday? How is it that they say they profess that they take their religion directly from the Bible and then they keep Sunday instead of Saturday? How does that work? That's what they are asking. That observance remains as a reminder. Listen what they are saying. As a reminder of the mother church from which the non-Catholic sects broke away. Like a boy running away from home but still carrying in his pocket a picture of his mother or a lock of her hair. Something to think about. The Church of England. Who are they? The Anglican Church. Church of England. Many people think that Sunday is the Sabbath. But neither in the New Testament nor in the early church is there anything to suggest that we have any right to transfer the observance of the seventh day of the week to the first. The Sabbath was and is Saturday and not Sunday, and if it were binding on us, then we should observe it on that day and on no other. The reason we observe the first day instead of the seventh is based on no positive command. One will search the scriptures in vain for authority for changing from the seventh day to the first. Now, how did it happen then that this change took place? Well, when we study history, we discover that actually an unholy alliance came to being in the second and third century between the Christian church and the heathen world. The church started to argue that if we bring in a few heathen practices into the church could grow more rapidly and even more heathen could become Christians. And at first the Sunday was not, it was only a holiday, held as a holiday, but afterwards the compromise was made by the church when Emperor Constantine himself became a Christian, and history documents the fact that the first civil law on the Sunday was an actual fact made by him. It was proclamated on the 7th of March, 321 AD. You can read that in the British Encyclopedia. It was Constantine the Great who first made a law for the proper observance of Sunday, who appointed it should be regularly celebrated throughout the Roman Empire. You can read it in the American Encyclopedia. Constantine the Great made the law for the whole empire. And there's the date, AD 321, that Sunday should be kept as a day of rest. You can see that as well in the Chambers Encyclopedia, stating the same fact that it was Constantine the Great that did it. And then only 4 years after this was 321 AD, only 4 years after this, the church came and made the first religious law on keeping the first day instead of the seventh. That was at the Council of Laodicea in the year 325, 4 years after Constantine. We read in the year 325, Sylvester, the Bishop of Rome, changed the title of the first day, calling it the Lord's Day. That's why you will hear even the Pope today speaking about the Lord's Day, referring to Sunday. And here is the law made in that year. Christians shall not Judaize. So they should not act as Jews and keep the Sabbath and be idle on Saturday. But they shall work on that day. This was the law of the church. But the Lord's Day, referring to Sunday, they shall especially honor, and as being Christians shall, if possible, do no work on that day. Now, in spite of this law, many Christians did not obey this law, and they kept on keeping the Sabbath. Eventually, in the 5th century, the Pope himself, Pope Gregorius, said the following about those keeping the biblical Sabbath. And he said, as the prophets of Antichrist, those who maintained that work ought not to be done on the seventh day. But now, we need to keep in mind that Bibles were not available to the ordinary Christian, and they actually did not know how to differentiate between truth and lie, and between what the Bible says and what the tradition of the church proclaim. They could not really distinguish between truth and myth. Sometimes people just accept things without ever questioning them. For many years, many centuries, people believed that the earth was the center of the universe. That everything in the universe, the stars, the sun, orbits around the earth. When Copernicus came and claimed that this was a myth, not true, they wanted to burn him to death because they said you cannot change God's heavens. Well, Copernicus did not try and change God's heavens. He only simply underlined the truth that the mere fact that something is believed for a long time, for a long period, does not automatically make that thing true. So can one be sincere but wrong? Yes. Sadly, you can. The fact that you are sincere does not mean that you are right. You could be totally wrong. Make sure that you are sincere and right. Listen to this statement in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Which day is the Sabbath day? Answer: Saturday is the Sabbath day. Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? Answer: because the Catholic Church transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. Now, this is quite frank. And this change was made at the Council of Laodicea. This comes from the power that the church bestowed upon itself, and eventually documented the fact after the Reformation at the Council of Trent, which was organized just after the Reformation, and which kept on for 17 years, just with one point on the agenda, after Luther stood there and said, "So help me God, I cannot change my mind." This council had to crush the Reformation that was started by Martin Luther, he said, "Give me the Bible, only the Bible. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise, so help me God." Now listen to the motion accepted at this historical Council of Trent that sat from 1545 right through to 1562. Finally, they had to answer the question between tradition or the Bible. Does the Bible stand above tradition or not? Finally, at the last opening on the 18th of January 1562, all hesitation was set aside. The Archbishop of Reggio made a speech in which he openly declared that tradition stood above Scripture. And there you have it, my dear friends. Tradition stood above Scripture. Now, what does the Bible say? Matthew 15:3. And he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Your tradition. But in vain do you worship me, teaching as their doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, dear friends, this is not just a matter of days. This is a question of who is my master. It's a question of obedience to my Savior. Listen to a few modern statements of the Catholic Church in their encyclopedia. It was the Catholic Church that decided Sunday should be the day of worship for Christians in honor of the resurrection. And now I must admit, this was also my view for many years in my life. We keep the Sunday because of the fact that Jesus rose on the first day of the week in honor of his resurrection. But nowhere is that found in the Bible. As a matter of fact, there is a monument for the resurrection, as the seventh day is the monument for the Sabbath, and showing us back to creation. But that monument for the resurrection is not Sunday. We will still get to it. Listen to these frank statements by the Catholic Church. Sunday is our mark of authority. The Church is above the Bible. And this transference of the Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. Right into your face. The Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday, not from any directions noted in the Scriptures, but from the Church's sense of its own power. People who think that the Bible, the Scriptures, should be the sole authority, should logically become Seventh-day Adventists and keep Saturday holy. Can you still remember what Daniel prophesied? He said, he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and he shall think to change the times and the law. What a prophecy. Did he change the law? Which can here only mean God's law. Yes, he did. Have a look at how this law has been changed. The first commandment, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Second commandment, listen carefully, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, what is the second commandment? The second commandment is Exodus 24, you shall not make to you any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down before them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. Where is that law? Where is that second commandment? It's gone. It's not there. Taken out. Why? Because they do make grave images and they do bow before them and worship them. But now you've got a problem. When you do that, you only have 9 commandments left, so you need to do something. So what they did is they took the 10th commandment, which says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, or thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. They took it and broke it into 2 pieces, and now it's the 9th and the 10th commandment, and then you've got 10 commandments again. 2 interesting observations. Has the calendar ever changed? Because if it has, the question arises, did the Sabbath not change with it? Has not that also changed? Well, the fact of the matter is the calendar was in fact changed, and by no one else than Pope Gregorius. I do not know whether you know about it, but in the year 1582, October, the Julian calendar was changed to the Gregorian calendar. And when you look at this calendar, you will see that Thursday, the 4th of October, is followed by Friday, the 15th of October, which tends to be very strange. 10 days was subtracted from the year. But you know what? The 5th of October became the 15th of October, but both those days were Friday, and the next day was Sabbath, was Saturday. The Sabbath did not change. The 6th of October 1582 merely became the 16th of October 1582. The weekly cycle was never interrupted at all, and that applies to all changes that has been made in the calendar. It's actually stated in their encyclopedia. It's to be noted that in the Christian period, the order of the days of the week has never been interrupted. Thus, when Gregory the 13th reformed the calendar in 1582, Thursday the 4th of October was followed by Friday the 15th of October. And so in England, I don't know whether you're aware of that, in 1752, Wednesday the 2nd of September was followed by Thursday the 14th of September. Here is a statement from the U.S. Naval Observatory. James Robertson, who's the director there. There has been no change in our calendar in past centuries that has affected in any way the cycle of the week. That's in the United States, the Naval Observatory. And then there's another, the Royal Observatory in London, Astronomer Royal F.W. Dyson says, as far as I know, in the various changes of the calendar, there has been no change in the seven-day rota of the week. In the National Almanac of 1931, page 740, a very learned chronologist, Dr. Fotheringham, states, when we come upon the clear evidence, the period of the 7 days was reckoned independently of the month, and in fact of all astronomical periods. From the Jewish church, it passed into the Christian church. I think the best possible way to deal with this is to ask the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews. A very strong point indicating that the six-day cycle of the week did not change is the fact that the Christians, Muslims and Jews use different calendars, but all agree on the cycle of the days of the week. Ask a Muslim when is Friday, and he will tell you, and they've kept that through all the ages. Ask a Jew which day is Sabbath day, and they will tell you because they've kept it through all the ages. Tell a Christian which day, or ask a Christian which day is Sunday, and he will tell you. Now, here's an interesting observation. In our own country here, we have this almanac. It's the one of 2011, January, and as you will see, Sunday is the first day of the week. Monday, second day, and Saturday is the seventh day of the week. Now, this same calendar, the next year, what happened? What is the first day of the week now? Monday, all of a sudden, becomes the first day of the week. And Sunday becomes the seventh day of the week. right under our eyes, they are changing our calendars, and we don't even notice it. Sunday has become the seventh day of the week, while it's the first day, and has always been. No, my brother and sister, God instituted Sabbath at creation, never changed it, and in the end of time, there will still be those who believe and live that. Revelation talks about that people. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. In actual fact, it should be obvious that those who believe in Him and those who love Him will also follow Him and they will also obey Him. They will keep the commandments out of love. I show my loyalty to Him when I obey His commandments, and I show my loyalty to human traditions when I keep the man-made Sabbath. Father Seeger of the Catholic Church has this statement: the observance of Sunday by the Protestants is a homage they pay in spite of themselves to the authority of the Catholic Church. Sunday Visitor, February 1950, Protestants accept Sunday rather than Saturday as the day for public worship after the Catholic Church made the change. But the Protestant mind does not seem to realize that in observing the Sunday, they are accepting the authority of the spokesman of the Church, the Pope. If Protestants would follow the Bible, they should worship God on the Sabbath day. In keeping the Sunday, they are following the law of the Catholic Church. Could it be more frank than that? Mark 7:7. However, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Mark 7:9. And he said to them, full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not hard. My dear friend, my brother, my sister, a blessing is awaiting you. God has a very special blessing in store for you. And I actually invite you today to trust God regarding this matter, the Sabbath truth. Test the word on it. I invite you to keep the Sabbath for 1 month in your life. Just for 1 month. And see and watch what happens in your spiritual life and in your life as a whole. Keep this special day that God has set apart for His children. And stand back and look what God has in store for you. Above all, you will experience a peace and a calm that you have never experienced before in your whole life. When is the Sabbath? Leviticus 23:32, from evening to evening shall you keep the Sabbath. In other words, when the sun sets on Friday, the Sabbath commences. When the sun sets on Saturday, the Sabbath ends. The day starts at sunset. That's biblical. It was evening and morning the first day. It's mentioned in Genesis. This notion that the day starts 1 minute after 12, again, is a law made by man. Not biblical. And amid the toil of every day, God gives His children 24 hours to come to rest. Just to stop and to rest. And He invites you to spend this day with Him, with your family, with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your other family in God, and of course with His Word, the Bible. And it's a wonderful privilege to spend one day a week with your Creator. Listen to this verse in Revelation 14:11. It's part of the three angels' message. And it's saying something very significant. And they have no rest day and night, they that worship the beast and his image. What is his image? Well, he's told us. It's Sunday. What does the three angels' message say? They have no rest. Day and night. They just keep on. Because Sunday has become a day of shopping, a day of sport. It's not kept holy anymore. So they have no rest. They that worship the beast and his image. Listen to these special words in the Bible. Isaiah 58:13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways. You know what your own ways are. Not finding your own pleasure. You know what your own pleasures are. Not speaking your own words. Then shall you delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. My brother, my sister, my dear friend, do you want to ride on the high places of the earth? Do you want to? Here is the promise of God. Here it is. Take it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So on the one hand, you have the truth, on the other, tradition. On the one hand, the Bible, on the other, human law and teaching. On the one hand, the law of God, on the other, man-made day. On the one hand, the Sabbath, on the other hand, the Sunday. And it's not merely a case of a day. It's a case of who is my master. It's a case of obedience, of love. It's a question of whether I want to follow Jesus or not. Was the Sabbath nailed to the cross? We'll have a lecture on that. Was the Sabbath nailed to the cross? Well, let's read. Isaiah 66:22. And as for the new heavens and the new earth which I will make, shall remain before me, said the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, said the Lord. From Sabbath to Sabbath on the new earth. From Sabbath to Sabbath in the new Jerusalem. We will all go from our home in the new earth up to the new Jerusalem to worship God on the Sabbath. There we are going to keep it. Well, my brother, my sister, my dear friend, if that's the case, if we are going to keep the Sabbath on the new earth, why don't we start here? And that's why Jesus said, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. For Jesus, the important thing is not whether you say that you know him, but that you do what the Father wants you to do. that you obey His word, that you obey Him out of love. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, you love Him. That's why you're here. If you did not love Him, you would not have been here. You would have stayed away. You must love Him. Now, if He comes to you today and He says, but this is my Sabbath. This is my day, the Sabbath. And the beast comes and says, but this is my day, the Sunday. Both cannot be correct. One is wrong. Which one? Are we aware of the strong drive today to get to the point where Sunday legislation will be instituted in the Christian countries? The Pope, when he came out, Pope Benedict, the first words he said was called for Sundays to be kept holy. And America jumped up and started the Ten Commandments Day and has been kept since 2006. Reinstating the Ten Commandments in America. But my brother and sister, those Ten Commandments reinstated there says Sunday is the day of worship. And in Europe, stop Sunday working. A Sunday alliance formed in Europe, 27 countries in this alliance. Trade unions and the Catholic Church forming a holy alliance for Sunday observance. Holy Alliance in Italy protests against working on Sundays. The EU must keep Sundays, says the Catholic Church. And so we can go along. Sunday law. The Sunday Alliance in Europe. For the Catholic Church, keeping Sundays free from shopping and work concerns is of larger consequence than the economy. Catholic Church and trade unions form a holy alliance. Catholic leaders and trade unions support Sunday observance. And so you can read from date to date. Sunday must be a day of rest dedicated to God, family, the Pope says. Sunday must be a day of rest for everyone so people can be free to be with their families and with God, the Pope says. Sunday legislation in the EU. The Eurozone demands a six-day week for Greece. Shopping. Stop Sunday shopping in Italy. The Pope calls on faithful to dedicate Sunday to the Lord. And so we can go on. This is an interesting statement of the new Pope, Pope Francis I. Listen to what he says. The Pope is calling for the world to acknowledge and honor Sundays as a day of rest. And then he says something significant. Legislation that will force the world to worship and rest on Sunday would be the ideal solution. Legislation that would force the world to worship and rest on Sunday would be the ideal solution. And therefore you get this statement today in America, a senator, that states church attendance should be mandatory. It should be made law. You should go to church on Sunday or else you are breaking the law. Sunday as mark of Christian unity. The Lord's Day. No wonder the Bible ends, Revelation ends in chapter 18 with an angel, and it seems as if it could actually be a fourth angel after the three angels' message had been proclaimed, and now we are at the end of time and there's a fourth angel. Let's read. After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And then this verse in Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues. What is God saying here? Yeah. To whom is he talking? He's talking to his people, saying, in actual fact, that at the end of time, most of God's people will be in Babylon. And he's calling them out. Come out of her, my people. Is that to be saved? No. They are already saved. They are his people. They are his people. Why should they come out of this system? There's the reason. That you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues. Because the day when the plagues begin to fall, the plagues are going to fall on Babylon, and if you are still in Babylon, the plagues are also going to fall on you. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues. May God help us.